She shook her head in frustration and looked away, frowning. You are quite likely to die.
Broken record much? I asked.
I got out the lock of baby-fine hair, set my knife down on the table, and lit the ceremonial candles there. The fallen angel was correct, damn it. The fear stirred dangerously inside me, and my fingers shook hard enough to break the first kitchen match instead of kindling it to life. If you must do this, Lashiel said, at least attempt to survive it. Let me help you.
You can help me by shutting the hell up and going away, I told her. Hellfire isn't going to be any use to me here.
Perhaps not, Lashiel said. But there is another way. There was a shimmer of light in the corner of my eye, and I turned to see a slowly pulsing silver glow upon the floor in the middle of my summoning circle. 2 feet beneath it lay the blackened denarius, where the rest of Lashiel was imprisoned. Take up the coin, she urged me. I can at least protect you from a backlash. I beg you not to throw your life away. I bit my lip. I didn't want to die, damn it. And the thought of failing to save Molly was almost worse than death. The holder of one of the 30 ancient silver coins had access to tremendous power. With that kind of boost, I could probably pull the spell off. And even if it went south, I could survive it under Lashiel's protection. Somehow, I knew that if I chose to do it, I could get the coin out from under the concrete in only a moment, too. I stared at the silver glow for a moment. Then I rolled my eyes and said, Are you still here? Lashiel's face smoothed into an emotionless mask, but there was a subtle, ugly tone of threat in her voice. You are much easier to talk to when you are asleep, my host. And she was gone. Fear rattled around inside me. I tried to calm it, but I couldn't regain my earlier detachment, not until I thought of young Daniel. Mangled beneath my wizard's sight, wounded, defending his family from something I had sent after them. I thought of Molly's brothers and sisters. I thought of her mother, her father. I thought of the laughter, the sheer, joyous, rowdy life of Michael's family. Then I pinked my fingertip with my ritual knife, touched the lock of baby hair to it, and laid it down within Little Chicago. I used a second drop of blood and an effort of will to touch the circle on the tabletop, closing it up and beginning the spell. I closed my eyes, focusing, murmuring a stream of faux Latin as I reached out to the model and brought it to life. My senses blurred, and suddenly I was standing on the tabletop at the model of my own boarding house. I thought the silver-colored model had grown to life size at first, then realized that the inverse was more accurate. I had shrunk to scale with Little Chicago, my awareness now within the spell, rather than in my own body, which stood over the table like Godzilla, murmuring the words of the spell. I closed my eyes and thought of Molly. My blood touched upon her lock of hair, and to my utter surprise, I shot off down the street with no more effort than it took to pedal a bicycle. The streets beneath me and the buildings around me glowed with white energy, the whole of the place humming like high-powered tension lines. Stars and stones, Little Chicago worked. It worked well. A surge of jubilation went through me, and my speed increased in proportion. I flashed through the streets, seeing faint images of people, like ghosts, the unsteady reflections of those now moving through the real Chicago around me. But then the spell wavered, and I found myself moving in a circle, like a baffled hound trying to pick up a scent trail. It didn't work. I made an effort and stood back in my own body, staring down at Little Chicago, badly fatigued. Exhausted, I reached for my backpack, sat down, and fumbled Bob into my lap. His eyes lit up at once, and he said, Don't get me wrong, big guy, I like you, but not that way. Shut up, I growled at him. Just tried to use Little Chicago to find Molly's trail. It fizzled. Bob blinked. It worked? The model actually worked? It didn't explode?
Obviously, I said. It worked fine, but I used a simple tracking spell, and it couldn't pick up her trail. So what's wrong with the damn thing? Put me on the table, Bob said. I reached up and did so. He was quiet for a minute before he said, It's fine, Harry. I mean, it's working just fine. Like hell, I growled. I've done that tracking spell hundreds of times. It must be the model. I'm telling you, it's perfect, Bob said. I'm looking at the darn thing. If it wasn't your spell, and it wasn't the model... Hey, what did you use to focus the tracking spell? Lock of her hair? That's baby hair, Harry. So? Bob let out a disgusted sound. So it won't work, Harry. Babies are like one big, enormous blank slate. Molly has changed quite a bit since that lock was taken. She doesn't have much to do with the person it got snipped from. Naturally, the spell couldn't track her. Damn it, I snarled. I hadn't thought of that, but it made sense. I had never used a lock of baby hair in the spell before, except once, to find a baby. Damn it, damn it, damn it. A tiny mistake. I was only human, and I had failed Molly.